97.9 FM, WCHL, and University Square present Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Side Dish, featuring 30 minutes of tasty talk with local chefs, culinary experts, and more. Side Dish is brought to you by University Square, local and legendary shopping and dining in downtown Chapel Hill. University Square, see you there. Now, here's your host for Side Dish, Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I have around my table today one of my favorite people because she likes deviled eggs as much as I do. But also, she is, you're fairly prolific. Welcome, Debbie Moose.
Oh, thank you for having me once again. It's always a fun time to be here.
It's been way too long.
It has.
I mean, it was with the deviled egg book, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Well, I think so.
You know, I just want to read, you something that she wrote, and I totally agree with this, even though we'll talk about my feelings about buttermilk in a minute. Like a full moon on a warm southern night, buttermilk makes something special happen. Now, did you grow up believing that?
I grew up believing that buttermilk was something special. Now, I didn't always know why it was special, but I knew that it was something special.
Well, I'm one of those people that I'm going to confess, I'm not going to lead you astray. I don't like buttermilk unless it's cooked in something. My mother loved buttermilk. My grandmother loved buttermilk. My whole family used to sit down after dinner, and dessert was buttermilk with cornbread.
Yes.
And we'd sit out on the back in the backyard on those aluminum chairs, and we would eat that. Now, I would substitute buttermilk. I'd have whole cow's milk. So I'm not a big buttermilk fan unless it's cooked. You just loved it from the time you had it?
Well, no, I didn't drink it a lot either. But one of the earliest things I remember is my father sitting down after dinner. We'd have cornbread for dinner. And then probably about 9 o'clock, he'd be in the kitchen looking for a snack to watch, you know, basketball game or something, sit down and watch his basketball game with. And he'd go in there, fill up a big glass with all that crumbled leftover cornbread, then pour buttermilk over it just till it was mushy, almost mm-hmm. like a pudding, mm-hmm. so much on there, and then come out with a spoon and sort of half eat it, half drink it, and I would, you know, what is that? And I would eat some of that, and it was a very interesting flavor for a child. It's a very different kind of taste.
Buttermilk is.
Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things I remember about him, and it is one of the few things my father could actually cook, if you call it cooking.
Well, I'm laughing only because probably my grandfather was the same way. I mean, people outside the South, they probably have no clue what they would not go and make buttermilk in a glass and with cornbread, would they?
Probably not. I mean, buttermilk isn't the exclusive property of the South, but I do think that it is something special for cooking in the South.
Well, I'm not meaning just buttermilk. I'm talking about that cornbread in a glass with, you know, I guess in some way it's a form of bread pudding.
It is sort of, and probably if you go back far, though, into Southern history, being on the farm, times might have been hard. You may have had some of that cornbread left from dinner, and it was a way to have. There was always buttermilk in the house. There was always going to be a little bread of some kind in the house. And it was a way to put that together and have something, you know, healthy and filling to eat when there might not have been much else around.
Well, is buttermilk, again, talk to me like I'm a buttermilk dummy because I am. Is buttermilk healthier for you?
Healthier than?
Than whole milk or, I mean, I got to take a stance. I'm a whole milk girl. That other stuff is blue milk to me.
Oh, yes.
Thin, it's half and half in my coffee and whole milk on the cereal.
Well, I'm with you there about the half and half. I have got to have that in my coffee, too. I don't care how many grams of fat it adds to my, if it shortens my life by a day, it's well worth it.
It is.
But I don't know that it's healthier. It's different. Buttermilk actually is probably more akin to yogurt than it is to whole milk, because not only is buttermilk what's left after you churn the butter out. Mm-hmm. There's also a fermentation process that takes place, much like does with yogurt. You know, bacteria is introduced, cultures are introduced, and so the fermentation makes it the thick texture, it adds that tangy flavor, uh-huh. and it makes it keep a little bit longer.
So you had to do a lot of research on buttermilk.
Scientific research, yes.
Yeah.
Terrible, all that eating I had to do. But
you kill me, you cookbook writers. Cookbook authors, you just have to do all this. And you had to, you translated it into this beautiful little book. I have to say that the Savor of the South cookbooks, and we'll talk about that, we're going to get into that in the second segment, but they're really nicely done, and this is really beautiful and all white and green. And I mean, it almost makes me want to drink some.
Oh, good. Well, UNC Press has done a wonderful job with that series. And you know, the other one that's coming out now along with buttermilk is pecans.
Pecans, I got that. That's Kathleen Purvis,
mm-hmm.
who writes for the Charlotte paper.
And that, yeah, she's the food editor for the Charlotte Observer. And on the cover of hers is a beautiful little, just simple stack of pecan halves. Mm-hmm. It's just
how many
lovely.
Are in the, I said we were going to talk about that in the second segment. Let's go back to this. Did they contact you to say, do you want to write a book about buttermilk?
Well, actually, I know the editor, Elaine Mazner, from both of us being in Southern Foodways Alliance. And I was looking around for another book to do. You know, you get antsy when you're a cookbook author. You want to be working on a book.
Uh-huh.
And we were at an event that featured a gentleman from Tennessee, Cruz Dairy, that still produces the old-fashioned style churned buttermilk, which very, very, very few dairies still do. And I had an opportunity to taste that. And it was a whole different buttermilk experience. It was thick. It was more like yogurt. It was very tangy. And I started talking to her and said, you know, I ought to do a book on buttermilk. There's so much you can do with it. And there are so many small dairies coming up now. They're offering a better quality product. And so that was kind of how it started.
Well, the book is just out. Is that correct? When is the release
yes.
date? September the 10th.
Yes.
So it's, and you're doing some book signings. Tell us one or two coming up.
I have one coming up on October the 2nd at the Barnes & Noble in Cary. And I will be at Southern Season on in November. I believe that's November the 3rd.
November 3rd. Well, we'll talk more
no,
about
I'm sorry. That.
That
was Greensboro.
Greensboro. We'll talk more about that when we come back. We're going to need to go to break. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL.
We now return to Side Dish, brought to you by University Square. Unique, locally owned shops with free parking in downtown Chapel Hill. University Square. See you there. Once again, your host on WCHL, Deborah Miller.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I'm sitting around. I have guesting with me today, Debbie Moose, and we are talking about her new cookbook, which is a Savor of the South cookbook on buttermilk. And how did this series come about? The Savor of the South books.
Well, UNC Press came up with this idea of making it a series, and they're going to have, I'm not sure exactly how many they're going to have. It's going to be at least 14, 16 that I know of that they've already set in the series. And it's going to be Southern ingredients, everything from pecans to tomatoes, peaches, all those things, focusing on one small, very attractive book on each of those subjects. And I'm doing another one for the series.
On?
This is Southern holiday food.
Well, so what would, to me, a Southern holiday food, what is that? It's going to be, to me, spiced pecans have always felt like a Southern holiday food, but.
Well, it depends on the holiday. And that's the fun.
Southern holiday food doesn't just have to be Christmas.
That's right. That's the fun part for me of working on this book, because it can be the big holidays like Easter, Christmas, but also more regional holidays, lesser-known holidays. And my lovely editor, whom I love, agrees, as I do, that the ACC tournament is a holiday.
Yes. I agree.
So
you got to have blue food.
So that will definitely be.
Well,
maybe not blue food.
Red
but,
food, dark blue food, light blue food.
But that was no dark blue food, none at all.
Well, I mean, I would agree with you on that one, but.
But anyway, so she does agree with me if that's a holiday, so that's a holiday in the book. I'm also trying to be as representative of the South and diverse as possible in a small book, because each of these books has 50 recipes.
Well, I was going to ask that. Did you decide the 50, or did they say we need 50?
They did. They okay. decided, because they want a consistent format for each of the books in the series, so they each have 50 recipes, plus an introduction that goes into the history of the food, any things special about the food. Like, I went and spent a wonderful afternoon with the folks at the NC State Dairy Department finding all about the science of buttermilk, exactly what scientifically makes buttermilk and what goes on when milk becomes buttermilk.
So do you, when you're looking for buttermilk recipes, do you just go to everybody you know and say, do you have a great recipe with buttermilk? I mean, to me, I love buttermilk waffles. Mm-hmm. I like buttermilk pancakes. Mm-hmm. I like buttermilk biscuits. I'm trying to think what other, never have really cottoned to buttermilk ice cream, though I'm sure since it's sweeter, it's probably.
Oh, I have a couple of good ones in the book you ought to try. I have a lavender buttermilk ice cream.
Ooh.
And I have one using Nutella.
Oh, well, how could that ever be bad?
I know.
Well, and here she came. You came walking in here today with gingerbread.
Yes, that is the recipe called Janice's Gingerbread that I got from a friend of a friend who is an excellent cook. And I tested out the recipe, made a few tweaks to it, what I thought was necessary. And the great thing about this gingerbread is the buttermilk makes it so moist.
It is. And it's rich. And, you know, gingerbread is not just for Christmas. A lot of people
sort
of think gingerbread is a Christmassy. That's me. You're hearing me smell it.
And that
I'm licking my fingers.
And it freezes really great because so that when the holidays do come along, that's going to be in my freezer for whenever you need to take something to a party or anything because it freezes fantastically.
And you made this in a sheet pan.
A 9x13 Pyrex
dish. So did you come up with like 80 recipes and then narrow it down to 50, or did you get 40 and say, oh, my God, I need to find another 10? How hard was it to find these?
Well, with this particular ingredient, you know, this is my fifth cookbook, and most of them have been the single-ingredient cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
With this particular ingredient, the challenge for me was making the recipes as diverse as possible because buttermilk lends itself so much to baking that a lot of baked goods are in the book, but also looking for some other ways to use it. I wanted to really broaden people's impression of what you could do with buttermilk because when I told people I was writing this book, this is the comment I have most often received. I'm so glad you're doing that because I buy a carton of buttermilk and then I make pancakes and then I don't know what else to do with the rest of the carton.
Perfect.
So I wanted to think, well, what else can you do with the rest of that carton?
Well, fiery fried chicken. Let's try that. Let's talk about that.
If everyone out there, if you are not soaking your chicken overnight in buttermilk before you fry it, you need to go do that right now.
You're crazy. So can I win friends and influence people with this recipe? Because I make terrible fried chicken. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. I'm even using my grandmother's cast iron skillets. Is this going to turn me into a amaze and amuse my friends?
Are you doing it now? Are you using buttermilk now?
No.
That will make a big difference because not only buttermilk has an acid content to it. It's a pH thing, chemistry. I won't bore you with all that, but it does have a higher acid content. And that's what makes it a good marinade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to tenderize your chicken sitting in that overnight. And then when you take it out, don't rinse off that buttermilk. All that lovely buttermilk sticking to the surface is going to help your flour to adhere to it.
Right.
And really make you a nice crust.
Well, now I have marinated chicken overnight in yogurt, like in a yogurt thing. So it's going to be similar. And then grilled it. And it was wonderful.
Because yogurt and buttermilk are both used a lot in Indian cooking.
Really?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, why would I not make that connection that buttermilk was used in Indian cooking?
Well, it's often used in, like, the marinades for tandoori chicken and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And lassis, of course, the Indian type of smoothie.
Buttermilk poached fish.
That was a very interesting recipe.
Where'd you?
I heard somewhere somebody doing it, and it really takes that fishy flavor out of fish. It makes it very mild.
Well, now I'd heard that soaking fish in milk had done that, and I used to do that with old fish fillet, not old fish fillets, but we're going to have to go to break in a minute. But you mentioned during the break that you had a couple of book signings coming up, and November 29th at McIntyre's in Farington.
That's right.
December 1st at the Southern Season.
Yes.
So just in time for the holidays, these would be great little books to give as gifts, perfect stocking stuffer size. Y'all don't go away where you're listening to Side Dish on WCHL.
We now return to Side Dish, brought to you by University Square, local and legendary downtown shopping and dining. Now welcomes KidZoo Children's Museum. See you there. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Once again, here's Deborah Miller.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I'm around the table with Debbie Moose, and we are talking about buttermilk, and I'm sure it's got a rich history.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, we all know that back in farming days, before refrigeration, you made butter by putting the milk right from the cow into the churn, and what you had left was buttermilk after the butter was churned and removed. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that that's not the end of what makes buttermilk. Again, days before refrigeration, and you're in the South, we're not going to throw that leftover away. We're going to find a way to use that because we're frugal. And you put that pitcher of buttermilk out on the counter, and then the second part of buttermilk happens, which is a fermentation.
And so it's room temperature.
Yeah, because there's no refrigeration, right?
Right.
And you hoped that the good bacteria was what you got. And I learned all this from the NC State Dairy Department. They were very helpful. It would ferment slightly, and then it would keep longer, but also it provided a real tangy flavor. So people began using that, looking for ways to use it in, you know, breads, cakes, any way they might find to use it. So over time, it became a flavor preference, that tanginess.
Interesting.
So you begin, even when you could, you had refrigerators even today, you look for that tanginess. Because it becomes something that you like.
And people began to bake with it and use it just exactly like they did regular whole milk.
Yes, or even better than whole milk because...
What makes it better?
It has a higher acid content.
Okay.
Once you take the butter out of the whole milk. Well, around the 1800s, the chemical leavenings were invented, like baking soda.
Uh-huh.
And up until then, you had to use yeast to get bread, which was a long, involved, time-consuming process. So baking soda came along for you to do a quick bread. It's alkaline, okay? So you have to have an acid to go with that to make the lovely bubbles that are going to make your cornbread or your pancakes rise. And so there's buttermilk, and it's just waiting to do the job.
Nice.
So buttermilk had a real surge in popularity around that time for that reason. And commercially cultured buttermilk came into being, which is what we have now. It's commercially cultured instead of the old-fashioned churning, sitting around business.
Well, when you were researching this, did you find any old-fashioned or did you just get it from the store? Were you able to go to any farms and find authentic?
There are very few, very, 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 very few places that do the old churn-style buttermilk. But that having been said, we're lucky here in the South that we're seeing a growth in small dairies that are making a really good milk, which is where buttermilk comes from. You have to have good milk to start with. And so even though it might not be the old-fashioned churn style, it's a much higher quality product from someplace such as Happy Cow Creamery in South Carolina or Maple View Dairy in Orange County.
So Maple View Dairy does make a buttermilk.
They make a very good buttermilk.
Okay.
But when I was testing the recipes, I just went to the store and bought any kind of buttermilk I could find, a random different kinds, just
to
see.
Well, you have to, because that's you have to use what people have access to.
Yeah, I wanted to be sure that the recipes I came up with were going to work regardless. And they all do, but as with anything, quality makes a difference.
What was one of your favorite? Was there a surprise recipe in this book?
The poached fish was a surprise. I didn't realize it would come out with as mellow and wonderful a flavor as it did. I really didn't know what it would do when I put it in there. And another surprising one is there's a cocktail in there.
I didn't get that far.
Yes, you should go all the way to the back of the book.
You know what? I wish we had smell-o-radio so you could. The aroma of this gingerbread is just. I can already feel myself drooling as it's sitting here and filling the room. I'm also one of those people who don't like okra because of the slime. Oh, I know. But
slime.
You have a Don't Fear the Slime okra recipe.
Yes, I dredge the pods in some buttermilk and then a little bit of flour and then fry them whole. You know, your smaller pods, you know, about the length of your index finger or smaller.
So Ritu's favorite summer cooler, is that the drink you're referring to?
Yes, she's a friend of mine who is Indian, and she was telling me about this drink that she has always loved to drink, and she says it's very popular in India. It's not a sweet smoothie. It's tangy. It has roasted cumin seeds in it.
I see that.
And when I tried it out, I thought, well, this is going to be really different. As it is different. But as she says, it's very refreshing on a hot day, more so than a cloyingly sweet drink would be.
So I was thinking you were going to tease me with something that had vodka or something in it.
Oh no, there's a cocktail in there. Keep going. Keep going.
Joe's Blue Cheese. Five.
Oh, that's good too. Joe's Blue Cheese dressing. That came from my contractor, who was working on my house at the same time I was doing this book. By the way, people, try not to do that. If you're ever working on the book. But fabulous blue cheese dressing recipe he gave me. But then there's the a cocktail called the Vanderbilt Fugitive.
I see that. And my goodness.
That came from a wonderful creative bar in Houston. And it has quite a number of interesting ingredients in it, along with buttermilk.
It does. Rum, buttermilk, chartreuse. I don't know what Averna Amaro is. It's nutmeg, maple syrup. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the book is, give us a web address.
Okay, my personal website is debbiemoose.com.
As it should be.
And then UNC Press, we can find out all about the book series, is uncpress.unc.edu.
And we got book signings coming up in, when did we say? November 29th and December 1st. Go online and look for those. Thank you for coming and talking
with me. Well, thank you so much for having me, and I hope you enjoy that gingerbread.
I'm going to hoard it all. Actually, not. My sister's coming. I know who's eating that gingerbread. Debbie Moose, thank you. You have been listening to Side Dish on WCHL.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish, tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is brought to you by University Square, local and legendary shopping and dining in downtown Chapel Hill. University Square, see you there. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.